Welcome back to the Dependency and Decaf podcast. I am Lillian Ketchum, and I am the host of this podcast, and let's just get right into this week's episode.
I am so excited for today's episode because it is the first official episode where I am not the only person that you have to listen to. But for starters, I am just going to share my favorite recent coffee drink. And if you guys don't know what Caribou is, it is more of a northern-based coffee shop. It's based in Minnesota, which is where I go to school right now. And my favorite drink from Caribou has been their berry white mocha. I have never been a mocha person. Like, ever, I don't know, it's just not my thing, but they came out with it for February for Valentine's Day, and it changed my life. But I am going to have our special guest introduce herself and share her favorite recent coffee order as well.
Hi! First of all, that mocha sounds delicious. Right? If I get coffee, it always has some sort of sweetness in it, so that sounds right up my alley. But yes. Hi, everyone. Thank you, Lillian, so much for having me today. I really am so honored and so joyful to be here right now. Yes. My name is Emily. I am the host of the Uncensored Self podcast and also a faith-led certified life coach. So that is a little bit about me and what I do, and I'm sure we'll chit-chat about, you know, how this all fits into our lives as the episode goes on. But I am 24 years old. I'm from Long Island, New York, and my go-to drink of choice, honestly, it's not coffee, but I love a good chai. And yes, my favorite way to have chai is with sweet cream cold foam on the top. Yes. Pretty basic, but if you add coconut milk, honestly, over any milk, I think that's how it tastes best. So chai with coconut milk, that's my go-to.
Good to know. Awesome. Well, thank you so much for being a part of the podcast, Emily. We have been trying to get this situated for a while and schedules just weren't working. And so I'm so glad that we're finally sitting down and having this conversation because I have been looking forward to it for so long. And everything that you do and that you're pursuing with your life and with your social media, I feel like really aligns with what I aspire to do as well, and what
I think you're already doing it.
Amen. But I feel like it also just aligns with, I don't know, I guess the people that we're reaching are looking for the same thing, so I think it's really cool that we're able to sit down and talk. But yeah, let's just go ahead and pray and then we can get into the material. Amazing. Awesome. Lord, thank you so much for Emily and just her willingness to join us on the podcast today and just to share her advice and her words from the Holy Spirit of just the life that she has lived so far. Lord, we thank you for the plans that you have for her, for the path that you've taken on to be able to be a light to people and to encourage people in ways that maybe other people wouldn't without the story that she has lived, Lord. So we just thank you so much for the incredible person that you created her to be. And I just pray that you are with us in this conversation, that you just have your way and that you flow through us tonight. So in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Awesome. I'm so excited.
I am too. Okay. So you mentioned that you are a certified life coach. So I'm really interested in how God kind of led you to that place in life and how your gifts and passions and just life experience kind of eventually led to being a certified life coach.
Okay, good question to start out. I do like to ramble, so if I end up,
please just go ahead.
You are more than welcome to interrupt me.
The floor is yours.
Basically, my entire life, I'm an older sister. I have a January birthday, so I was kind of like the older one in my grade, so to speak. So I think I always kind of just felt like taking on that role of like being an encourager and being there for people and just, you know, that almost like those motherly instincts, not towards my friend because my friends don't need to be mothered, but you know, like when I grew up with three siblings, like that's just how the cookie crumbles. But as I got older, I really kind of did fall into that like advice friend role. Like in high school, my friends used to call me mom. Like I was kind of like a bit, not like an outlier, not like an oddball out, but you know, I wanted to just encourage everyone and make sure everyone was happy or whatever. But honestly, that really shifted into a lot of like people pleasing and codependency and like relationships and things like that.
That's so good.
So yeah, but then it was really like coming out of that. And when I met Christ when I was 20 years old, like after all that, like when everything kind of hit the fan and blew up in my face, like God showed me like how he redeemed my like original role to now be used for his glory. So it's like I can still be an encourager. I can still have like strong faith for people when people like are really discouraged in their faith. Like, and I really try to have that, the role of like lifting people up and like bringing them, calling them higher and being like, no, this is the plan that God has for you. Like, you
Yeah.
can step here and it's safe to step here. So that's kind of how I got into the life coach thing, just
Yeah.
because I feel like my entire life, like I've navigated towards or
Right.
I've leaned towards that like advice, big sister role. But now that I'm doing it in Jesus, it's like
Right.
I actually have a foundation now of like where I like
Yeah.
can stand and talk from.
Yeah.
So that's kind of how I got into it. I love people. I love talking to people. I love listening to people talk about their life, and I love like kind of meeting them when where they're at.
Right.
I think because that's like a big part of like what my testimony lies on is like Jesus is our friend,
Yeah.
and like he's there for me, and he's always there for me, and he's there for you, and he's there for everybody. And like I just want to be that to other people. So that's
Yeah.
kind of how that got started.
That's so good. That is so cool. So practically, like being a life coach, like what does that look like in your everyday life? Like, is that a role that you do like through a church or like personally on your own or like how does that look for you? 'Cause I'm very interested.
Good question. So honestly, I have had the Uncensored Self, that's my podcast, for the past 3 years.
Okay.
And it was always more of like a hobby, just like something I was just like freely pouring into just because I wanted to do it. I love to do it. And I was still in college. And then right after college, I went to nursing school. And that was like an accelerated, like rigorous program. And it wasn't until like I came home, all my schooling was done. I had passed my boards and everything. And I really also wanted to take this seriously. And we were talking a bit before, and I was like, oh, like if I'm gonna take this seriously, like if I'm gonna call myself a life coach, like I have like Christ is backing me. Like
Right.
I can't like hide and like not say who's like the foundation of all this.
Yeah.
So I really just pivoted into using my platform also for life coaching. So I've had the podcast for a while. That was really just like a hobby, just something that I love to
Yeah.
do. And I would create like freebies and things and content just like out of like the joy that I had. But now that I'm kind of stewarding the space also as a life coaching service, I'm just kind of dipping my toes into it. So I'm still building like free guides and free content. I have a like text messaging service that like I like to send encouragement to throughout the week. I have a website that's up and running and like a couple like merch items just to kind of, dip my toes in the life coaching thing. But in the future, like my heart is really behind young girls, late teens and like early college years. And as far as the coaching aspect goes, I really hope to be able to do like group classes and meetings. And like, I don't know, I feel like the Lord's given me visions for like sorority spaces and like college campuses, just because I know that like I know the struggles there, and I've lived them, and I've had so much hurt in them. But I also know that the Lord can redeem it and like bring so much joy into that space. So that's kind of where my heart is. I haven't really gotten too into life coaching, like the practical side yet, but there's like my heart's burdened for things. So that's how it kind of
That's
looks
so
right now.
cool. Wow, that's amazing. I just love how you were kind of sharing, like, it started off with you just living that in your life every day, and then it became something that is what you do. I feel like so many people overlook their everyday passions as something that can literally be what they do with their life. Like, there's a reason that the Lord gifted you in that way and gave you those passions. It's like He wants you to do that with your life.
Yes, it's so true. And even like I know this is like the nursing thing too. Like that was like so unexpected.
Yeah.
It was like right after I kind of got saved too, and it was like I should go to nursing school. And like
Wow.
it's like all these things, like you plan your life like to its ex like you plan it as much as you can, but then the Lord always comes in and goes like, whoosh, I'm gonna wipe it clean. I'm gonna show you what I can do with like nothing essentially. So yeah, that's yeah. Sometimes I like I don't really like look at it because I am like, oh, like I've been working on this for 3 years, but like, where did it really come from? Like, it just came from like a passion.
That's so good. That is so good. Okay, so you mentioned kind of a little bit about like teaching others how to embrace the love of Jesus, and like to live in the fullness of his joy. And honestly, that stood out to me so much because I feel like the Lord's been taking me through a process specifically this year of what that looks like for me. And so I want to be able to show that exact same thing to others, but I thought it was so cool that you mentioned that specifically. So what advice would you give to others struggling to live in the fullness of God's joy? And what does that mean to you?
Okay. So I'm going to start kind of like the beginning. Perfect. Not the beginning, but we're going to start
when I was born.
So kind of getting back to what I initially started with like, you know, I had a lot of codependency issues in like relationships, specifically like romantic relationships. And then also like I was a really big people pleaser, specifically in friendships. And you know what I mean? That was me always in a sense, like looking for fulfillment, like trying to like fill a void that like I wanted to just be enough. Like I wanted to just feel like I had a place in this world, that I was good enough, that like I was liked. I didn't want anyone to be mad at me ever. Like, you know how it goes. Just we fall into these traps all the time. I think, especially as women. And when after I was saved and I really started like trying to live a better life, meaning like the first convictions that I got were about like relationships and like what a Christ-centered relationship should look like. After I was kind of like washed clean of all of that, I really tried to pursue this idea of self-love because that was always what I was trying to do when I was in codependency and people pleasing. I was trying to love myself. And then when I came out of it, I was like, all right, now like I need to find self-love, like, but outside of like people pleasing and codependency, which worked for a period of time. You know, you do the things, you read the self-help books, you go to the gym, you do your skincare, but still at the end of the day, and I'm not saying like those things are bad things. Like we're allowed to steward our time like in good ways, like doing everything for the glory of God. But at the end of the day, those things are still earthly and they're still void. And they can't come with us when we go to heaven. Right. So at the end of the day, the only way to have that pure, holy self-love that you're actually searching for is in adopting the love of Jesus and his selfless example of what he did for us in his work on the cross. And furthermore, the love of the Father that he sent his only son. Like, I know that like sometimes we can go through life being like, oh, like I know someone who I would die for. Like I know someone that would die for me. But like, do you know someone who would, like, do you know a father who would send their only son to die for you? Like, probably not.
Yeah.
So, I mean, now we do. We know it's God. But just being able to embrace that love. And when you seek Jesus and you don't seek self-love, because we're always, even like if you're seeking healing, like don't seek the healing, seek the healer. Don't seek self-love, seek the giver of love. And when you take your eyes off of yourself and fix your eyes on Jesus, it just becomes so abundantly clear of who he is and who he created us to be.
Right.
So it's like you can have that self-love. Like God calls us out of self-hatred. And beyond that, he doesn't just say, oh, you don't have to hate yourself. Like he says that we can love ourselves.
Yeah.
The command that Jesus gave, love your neighbor as yourself. Like, where does that start? Like, if you don't have a benchmark in loving yourself, how are you going to love your neighbor? But in order to love yourself, you have to know God, because he is the author of love. So that's really where embracing the love of Jesus came from, because how do we know love on this earth? It's because we know God.
Yeah.
And you know, like, it doesn't mean that someone that doesn't know God doesn't know how to love, but the love that we're looking for is so much deeper than like the superficial earthly love that we have.
Right.
And he just opens our minds up like beyond what we can humanly understand. And there's still so much that we don't know too.
Yeah.
So that's the first part of it. Mm-hmm. And then living in Jesus's fullness of joy, like the joy of the Lord is our strength. And I think that like it only becomes so clear to us that like we need the joy of the Lord when we're in our deepest, darkest moments, because it reveals our dependency on God that we have in order to get through life. Like Jesus makes life worth living because we know that we're not in this alone.
Yeah.
And I think another one of the things that can, when you first get saved, if you're like a baby Christian, or like, let's say you grew up in a Christian home and like all this like cultural Christianity, like things can so easily get bent into legalism also, which is another thing that like the Lord has set me free from. Cause like I went my entire life just wanting to be like a good person. I just wanted to make good decisions. I didn't want to ruffle any feathers. And because Jesus calls us out of sin and he allows us to do everything for his glory and for an act of love, like there's really no parameters for that. because the things that do have parameters on them, like he has already called us out of. So, like, and that's our fear of the Lord, right? We're not going to like use our free will to continue sinning because that's the very thing that he called us out of. So it gives us freedom to like do things that bring you joy and enjoy life because you're just using them as an act of worship to give back to God. So yeah, that's kind of my spiel.
Yeah, no, that's so good. There are so many good words in there that you're saying. I was trying to remember. No, it's so good. I feel like all of that kind of trickles down to identity and like fully understanding who you are, and you can't do that without fully understanding who God is and who He says that you are. And that's everything that I've been going through this year is like, you know, it's the kind of thing that you don't just check the box in and you're one and done for the rest of your life. Like, identity is something you have to keep disciplining yourself in and coming back to every single day, because once that foundation is set, everything else flows from it. So, like, if I know who I am, it doesn't matter what comes my way. Like, I can have joy in the Lord because I know that He's singing over me and I know that He has good plans for me.
Yes, that's exactly like, you know, guard your heart for everything you do flows from it, and like from the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. Like, where is your heart postured towards? And if you said like going back to identity, like if it's postured towards an earthly thing, like it's always going to be fleeting. Because even, you know, I can say like, oh, like, you know, I'm a big sister. Like, what happens when my siblings grow up? Then, you know what I mean? Like, just, or I'm a sorority sister, or I'm a president of my club or whatever. Like, that those things are, they're temporary at the end of the day. Even the things that seem the most trustworthy, like if it's not Jesus, like it's not forever.
Yeah, that's so good. So kind of continuing on like the self-love, joy, identity topic, because I like where this is going. You sent me this like slideshow of the 7 days to self-love, and I loved it. And I love the branding. I love everything. It's all so cute. But I would kind of love to hear about how God like led you to making that, and what you would recommend to listeners who may be struggling with self-love.
So, the title of it is 7 Days to Self-Love, but there's like a subtitle in, maybe you've seen it, but I'm just gonna say it for everyone listening. Like, there's a subtitle underneath it that says like, searching for freedom, or like going to like seeking Christ for freedom, I think it says.
That's so good.
And because really, like, when you're seeking self-love, like that's what you're seeking, like feeling like you don't have to hate yourself anymore and feeling like you don't have to put so much pressure on yourself. Like, you just want freedom from all that. And Jesus says that he gives us life and life abundantly, and he is the very one that sets us free. So when you're seeking for self-love, like, there's a postural way that you have to do things, which is pointing yourself towards Jesus, but there's also like a practical way that you can do this too. Like, because I think sometimes, especially in the mental health world, so like, you can tell, like, someone, you know, maybe you hear that, oh, someone just said that they just prayed for me, but like it didn't help. Or like, someone just said to pray more, but like, what does it even mean? Like, what does it actually look like? And one of the things that took me a while to like grow my relationship with God was like, how do I actually do this walk? Because I didn't have any believer friends. Like, I really had no idea what was doing. I had like a worship playlist, and you know, I had like my daily notification on my Bible app, but like, I really didn't know what it looked like. So, the 7 Days to Self-Love guide is a guide that walks you through in 7 days, very short term. But it like creates that habit of starting your day with Christ, ending your day with Christ. It gives like little journal prompts and daily to-do lists to just walk in that confidence that you have in Christ, to just maintain that freedom. And like, constantly, like you said, with the identity thing, like, it's not like a one and done, like, okay, I'm a believer, I'm a child of God, like, now what? Like, I am constantly reminding myself, like, probably hourly, if not on a minute by minute basis, like, who I am. Because we can't, a lot of times, like, we can't control our thoughts. We can take them captive, but like, we can't always prevent what comes out in our mind. And Pastor Craig Rochelle, I don't know if you know him.
Yes, he is so awesome.
I love him. And one of the things that he has said a couple times before on his podcast is like, you do what you do because of what you think of you. And I'm also like a science nerd. Like, I love psychology. I love knowing what goes on in the body. And that's also so prevalent there too. Like, Dr. Amen, I've heard a couple times, I don't even know him. He's a neurosurgeon, I think, or some neuroscientist. And he does a lot with like brain health. And like, so there's, you know, the spiritual aspect of it, but then like how do we live that in the physical world? Because it's possible, because God dwells in our humanity. It's like the bridge to get to him on earth, on this earthly side of things. So the 7 days of self-love guide is really just for the girl who wants to start walking out in that, but doesn't really have a baseline on where to start. So yeah, it just offers just how to practically start walking with the Lord.
Wow, that's so good. Oh, I had something I was gonna say. I hate when you have something you're gonna say and it's like so good, but then it's just gone the second that you're ready to say it. I'm like, oh, dang it. No, I totally agree with everything that you said. And I love how every time that you're talking, you're like using scripture. Like that is, I don't know, it just shows how everything you're saying proves true because it's in scripture. And it
I
shows
couldn't
like,
do this without,
No, I can't either. But like, it's just proving the points that you're making. Like, we literally can't do it without Jesus. Like, the only reason I'm here is because I know this scripture. And I mean, that's what's changed my life, especially this year, is just knowing scripture and like training myself to remember scripture. Like, there's a reason that it's the sword of the spirit, like, the only thing of the armor of God that's pointing back. That you're fighting with is like scripture. It's because it's the one thing that actually combats these lies and helps you to actually learn to love yourself and discipline yourself into knowing, like, no, like I may be having a bad day, but like I've definitely learned that like you can say all of the self-love things about yourself throughout your day, like you even said, like minute by minute. But if I'm not combating those lies with scripture, it's weak. Like it's gonna fall apart. I'm gonna end up hating myself at the end of the day because I'm not giving myself sound truth. I'm just telling myself that I'm awesome, but that's not gonna get me
Yeah,
anywhere.
you're like, okay, but why? Like, I need something deeper. I need something more. Yeah. Because I think also, I don't know if you have any listeners that have like dabbled in like New Age. And that was like kind of like me before. Because like I didn't grow up, I grew up like Catholic, but like what does that mean? Like, I don't know. Couldn't tell you who Jesus was. Like it's no fault of like my parents or anyone in my family. It's honestly to no fault of like the church, but like just, like how it goes. I don't know. It's like very Long Island, New York to like be Catholic and not really speak anything of it. So then I was at like this really like low point, and I was like really trying to like just find anything. Like I was dabbling in like all sorts of things. Like I was looking up world religions. I was like, what's Buddhism? Like what's New Age? And Jesus kind of just like picked these, like, you're not gonna go to that deep. And they're like, we're gonna stop this right here. But a lot of like the New Age, or even just like, the cultural spirituality, like, oh, like referencing everything to the universe and like having these affirmations, like they're not deep enough to actually have an effect on you that is long lasting. It can have an effect on you for maybe a little bit, but then what happens when like something happens and like something like not even to you necessarily, like someone in your family, God forbid, or like, like you hear someone at school, like life happens and we live in a fallen world and we can't prevent things that are undesirable to us from happening. And that's when it's gonna like, kind of fall underneath you. And like all of that, all the things that you tried to tell yourself, like it's not gonna be able to hold you up. Like Christ is our firm foundation and he is the only one that is like constantly reliable and worthy of our trust in him, because he has proven himself like all throughout history that like he will not leave his people.
I love how like you're encouraging with like the spiritual, like in the word of God, but you're also like practically like there's a side to that too. Like, 'cause I think so often with mental health, it's not talked about the way that I wish it would be in the church. A lot of the time it's like just keep praying, just keep trusting the Lord, like he'll heal you, like come to the altar. It's like, yes, like the Lord can do miracles. Like, I have seen that in my own life, but I've also seen the long-term healing process and therapy and medicine. Like, I've seen the Lord work through those things too. And so I love how you brought that up because I think for a lot of people, it can be discouraging to hear, like, oh, just look to the Lord and everything will be solved. Like, no, like, there's things that we have to put in the work for sometimes too. And that's in scripture. Like, not everything we ask for is just going to be given to us, you know?
Yeah, like that's it's part of how like our free will like works with his sovereignty. Like he invites us to pray and but he also invites us to make choices, and like we're allowed to make choices. And that's also part of like living in his fullness of joy. Like, you know, like not feeling like a failure. Like if you have to make a choice to like have medicine, or if you have to make a choice to, you know, like do certain things for you that maybe other people shun you about. Like it's just understanding that like if you have your heart postured towards the Lord, like he's not going to lead you astray.
That's so good. Amen.
Amen.
We're preaching right now.
Yeah. It's hard to balance too, especially because and I feel like I saw you talk about this in an Instagram post, and you received healing for something, and like I received healing for anxiety one time, but it's also like sometimes it's not that simple. And like sometimes, like, you know, like God meets us in our struggle, and like it's okay to struggle. It's okay to, you know, ask for help. It's okay to do things like.
And honestly, like, that's why I love having these conversations, because I feel like with social media and with our day and age and everything just getting more scroll this, scroll that, and attention span just going down, it's so hard to not fall into the comparison trap and just see how everything on social media is a highlight reel. And when you're struggling, it makes it so much worse. Especially when it comes to Christianity, it's hard to be struggling and seeing everybody else like, oh, the Lord healed me, which is amazing. Like, rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn, but it's easier said than done. And like, in this past season of my life, I found myself struggling more than I was enjoying life more. And I don't know, I definitely can see from people's perspectives who are struggling why it can be so discouraging to see those things. But when it comes to struggling, like, the biggest thing that helped me was discipline. And like, even if I didn't want to, and even if I had a bad day, still reminding myself of my truths and still like forcing myself to read the word and forcing myself to memorize scripture. Because like, people who say that there's days where they don't want to read the word are the realest people, because it's true. Like, there's times where I don't want to spend time with the Lord, but like, I know that that's an attack from the enemy. And when it comes to like healing too, I say like, it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. And I honestly believe that because the Lord knows us all so well and has such good plans for us, like, he has an intentional plan for healing as well. Because I have seen miraculous healing in my life, but it also like took an entire lifetime to get to that miraculous healing. And I don't know, I like to think that the Lord has it planned out.
I was gonna say, even if you look at like, I don't know, I think it's Hebrews 11. It's like just stories of faith of our ancestors, and like how God like calls them righteous essentially because of their faith. And God says that specifically about Abraham, like, and the Lord called Abraham righteous because of his faith. And it's like, that's been like, you know, him and Sarah were gonna have a baby at 99 years old, supposedly. And
Crazy.
you know, it God was like, I'm gonna make you the father of many nations. Like, what reason did Abraham have to say, yeah, sure? Like I think Paul wrote, like, and when there was no reason to have hope any longer, or something along those lines, like Abraham still kept hoping. And it's like, it doesn't matter what gets done on earth, because we know like it's whatever it is, like it's gonna be, and there's gonna be a perfect resting place for us one day where we can commune with the Lord as he intended us to. So like, and it's I don't want to say it doesn't matter, because like I know how painful it can be to walk through things like that every day. And like, you know, even if one day you think, okay, things are better, and then like they're really not, like, and it's 20 times worse, you know, like, but it's just like to have that faith, to keep hoping, like it's gonna come, but like it's gonna come with intimacy with the Lord. So like you said, like every time you get an itch, like not read your Bible, like you got to rebuke that and be like, okay, that's not from God. Like, God wouldn't give me that thought. Like, I have to stay disciplined here. And like, when you constantly are seeking the Lord, like, your hope's going to grow stronger. Your faith in Jesus is going to grow stronger. And in that, you know, maybe he might not change like your situation or what's going on with you, but he'll change like your heart posture and your outlook on it. And because you're going to be reminded more of him more than your struggle. And I just think
That's so
that's so
good.
helpful.
Well, in this, I guess, semester of school, this year of school has really trained me and helped me to understand what it looks like to have joy when I'm not happy. And to know that, like, I can have joy when my circumstances don't give me joy at all, because the Lord's character doesn't change when my circumstances do, which means that, like, my worship doesn't have to change. And that means, like, because I'm worshiping, like, I have joy through my worship. And it's been so freeing. And so I almost just want to encourage, like, people who are listening to know, like, it can be so difficult. Like, I have seen the lowest of lows in life. Like, I've been there. I know what it's like. But in those low lows, I've also experienced so much joy that can only come from the Lord, even when my circumstances haven't shifted. And so just, like, experimenting with worship and, like, pushing yourself past the barrier of emotions to knowing, like, I can actually have joy right now. And it can be my strength that gets me through.
Yeah, that is so good. It's so needed because God doesn't change. And I think that sometimes we, especially for any new believers, like, I know I, like, used to struggle with this. Like, how can this be happening? Like, I thought we were good, God. But, like, my relationship, your relationship with him doesn't have to change. Like, you know, like, he still looks at you with those same, like, blameless eyes. Like, he so loves good. You. And, like, no matter what you're going through, like, he sees it all. He's sitting, like, literally, like, right beside you.
Yeah.
And, like, you're not alone in it. And also, like, knowing Jesus, like, it's like he knows suffering better than any of us. So he's able to relate to us in our pain.
Right.
So just keeping the worship. That's so important because you feel it too. Like, and I know that, like, you know, your relationship with God is not a feeling, but, like, something does happen when you worship, and, like, it does make you feel different.
Right. That's so good. It's so good. So I would love to kind of close up with just a piece of advice that you would love to give to young Christian women, young college students, just people kind of in that age range that you said that you, like, prefer as your target market, I guess, with giving advice. If you have, like, your favorite piece of advice to give, or just something that kind of reaches all those people, just trying to figure out life, people trying to navigate big life changes, like, what's a big piece of advice that you would give to that large bubble of people?
Okay. Loaded question.
And yeah.
My answer is going to be, like, kind of not vague, but you know how I talked about, like, having the spiritual thing and then also having the practicality in it. So I'm going to give this, I'm going to give the spiritual first and then I'll say the practical.
Perfect.
My biggest piece of advice is to keep your eyes on Jesus. And I know it's going to seem really mundane, this practical thing that I'm suggesting, but it literally is just to read your Bible. And I know you hear it all the time. I know you're probably sick of it. Maybe you're even saying, hey, I already have that routine and it's not doing anything. But, like, ask the Holy Spirit, like, invite the Holy Spirit in before you read.
Yeah.
Make that daily routine of reading a chapter a day, whatever you can digest at one time. And then actively try to live that out. And, like, if you get to, like, making a decision and you say, I don't really know what to do about this, like, go back to scripture. Like, there's no shame in Googling, what does the Bible say about blah, blah, blah. Making your decision based on the Holy Spirit's counsel in that. Because I just think that's how we end up living a peaceful life, is, like, when we actively seek to live it in Christ.
Yes. So,
that's my biggest piece of advice.
That is so good. Well, thank you so much, Emily, just for the words of wisdom that you provided and just everything that you shared. It was so amazing. I can tell that the Lord has gifted you in this way to give advice. So we're just so thankful to be able to listen to your advice that you've given. But yes, anyone who is listening, please go follow Emily and listen to her podcast as well, The Uncensored Self, just to hear more of her voice and more of her advice. But yeah, thank you guys so much for joining us on this episode. And thank you again, Emily, for being here.
Thank you for having me. I'm so happy that we were able to do this.
Me too.